the just live by faith. It's just a statement. That's us. That's us, everybody. We live by faith. We meaning those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, people who have committed their hearts to God and asked Him to forgive us of our sins. We are the just. We are Christians and we live by faith. And it's through faith that we became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, "For by grace through faith were you saved." It was this incredible gift of God. He overlooked everything that was against us and all the things that we had done wrong, all the sins that we'd committed. And He looked past all of those because we get put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of those sins. And that's why we are called the just. Now, this is foundational. I mean, this has to be where we stand and why we call ourselves Christians. It's not because we're good or good enough. It's not because we go to church. It's not because we don't say bad words. It's because we live by faith. And the truth is that sometimes as Christians, we drift over into just relying on ourselves and things, and we put in our trust in those things instead of our faith in God, and that's what we don't want to do. But sometimes the word faith, it eludes us a little bit. It's not that it's a big, big mystery. God is not hiding this under some secret code. Don't you love those movies where they have to go all over the world finding out these clues and these codes just to get the bad guy or whatever? Well, I like those kind of movies, whether you do or don't, you know. But I mean, but this is God didn't do that. He didn't have some kind of weird, you know, sequence of events that you have to go through before you find out that you can love God and that God loves you. It's right here. And the cool thing about faith is that even though it's a little hard to grasp, it's probably because we understand that it's a spiritual thing and not a natural thing. I grew up and God gave me an appetite and gave me this desire for thirst. So when I'm hungry and thirsty, I know exactly what to do with that. But I didn't know exactly what to do with faith when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ back on October the 18th of 1973. I had to figure out a couple of these things. I didn't grow up with it. It wasn't natural for me. But here's the thing about faith is that it is also uncomfortable with the natural. I know I'm not trying to create a kind of cloudy circumstance here, but you know, we're a little uncomfortable with it because maybe we don't fully understand it or exactly how to apply it. But the cool thing about faith is it's uncomfortable with the natural anyway. Let me share a couple of things with you that just amaze me. Faith defies reason. It doesn't make any sense. Most of the time it doesn't make any sense. What you do every Sunday by getting up, getting dressed, coming to church, just blows your neighbors away. Why would you do that every Sunday? I've got a pontoon boat, and I've got a lake, and I've got all this. I've got things to do, and you do those kinds of things. It amazes me that you would do that. You see, it defies faith. It defies reason. They don't understand it. It's not rational. The cool thing about faith is it doesn't stick to the script. It goes wherever it needs to go. And it moves mountains, the Bible says. It's not natural. It's supernatural. I would say a mountain moving would be a supernatural thing, would you? I would too. I mean, God does things that could only be explained by the general title of that was the supernatural. Not the spooky, weird, goblins and ghosts type stuff. We're talking about God blessing and touching and healing and ministering, and He does that in the supernatural. And it doesn't always face the facts, does it? Matter of fact, most of the time, faith ignores the facts. Regardless of what you see, and you know to be true because of what your eyes are telling you and where you've been in experience, faith takes you beyond all of that because God wants to do something powerful with you. And faith never gives up. You may give up on your faith, but guess what? Faith never quits. Never quits. It was that great theologian, Vince Lombardi, who said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." And you know what? That wasn't that funny. But, you know, you exercising our faith, we're praying for a miracle, we're praying for some resource, we're praying for this and we're praying for that, and sometimes we just get really, really weary. And you know we keep pushing forward. We understand this in our head, we know, but man, we just get tired and we give up on our faith. And, you know, sometimes we need to understand that it's just keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing because faith never quits. It's been said that faith is like a muscle. You either use it or lose it. And I think that's kind of convenient because what do we say in the Christian faith? We exercise our faith. So the more we exercise our faith, the more our faith, like a muscle, retains its ability and its strength, and therefore. But it doesn't make things easy, does it? However, it does make things possible. God never promised it was going to be easy. It was going to be simple. It was going to be quick. But God promised that He would be there and He would take care of us. And that's where our faith goes. So what is faith? Well, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. We have, by the author of Hebrews, a definition, if you will. But sometimes it lacks understanding. And I doubt I'll do a great, great job of explaining it. But I'm going to try to go there just for a second so that we'll have a little something to stand on in the next few moments. Hebrews 11, 1 says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I know what substance is. This carpet is on top of some plywood that is on top of a bunch of lumber, which is on top of a bunch of concrete. I know this. This is called substance. I can stand on this because I know it's here. I've been here a lot of times. It's never fallen through. So this is what I call substance. But it's talking about the substance, the reality of something that you're hoping for. If you're hoping for something, it's not there here, is it? You don't hope for things if they're already in your possession. You don't have to hope anymore if it's right there. And that's what he's talking about. It is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. And we know what proof is. The evidence. You gather all this information and it gives you proof of something existing. It is the evidence. It's the proof of something that I am thinking about, but I don't see it. You know, we've said this, and I want to be careful how I say this because I want to make sure I say it just right. We usually believe it when we see it, but faith says, I see it because I believe it. Now, sometimes we get cute little phrases. We just turn them around, you know, for the sake of turning them around. They're cute, and they make great bumper stickers. But this one is all about faith. It's not that I believe it when I see it. That's after the fact faith. But I believe it because I already see it. That's what my faith takes me to. Praying for that lost loved one. Man, they've never, ever acted like they really want to know God. They've distanced themselves from you and your religion and your lifestyle, all of these things. Man, you need some resources. You need some cash. And it's not because you're out splurging. It's because you need some cash. You know, all of these different things. And we're believing for that. We believe it before we even see it. And that's how God supplies. That's what faith is. So faith is a lot of things. Let me just take you down a couple of things that hopefully will really help us with our faith, exercising our faith, and understanding a little bit more. Faith is simply taking God at His word. Now, you have some friends that, you know, if they say something, you believe it because their track record is true, and every time they've said, I'll be there at 6 o'clock, they showed up at 6 o'clock. How cool is that? So you know what? You believe them. You have faith in these people because of their track record. Well, God's word is such, in many ways, the same thing. There's an old saying that goes like this. God said it. I believe it. Are you ready? You're with me. You remember it. And that settles it. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Now, that may be, again, cute little bumper sticker, but stop and think about when you put those components together. Where did we start with this? God said it. So I just have the option of believing it, and if I believe it, then you know that settles it. Tell me anything else you want to. Tell me all of the other circumstances, how you feel. Take a poll if you want to. But God said it, I believe it, so that settles it. Can I just tell you, there's an awful lot of times that what we believe doesn't line up with what the world sees. And you know what? They try to rob us of our faith in circumstances and situations and pain in your body, indifference between you and another, all kinds of things get in the way and tends to want us to rob us of the faith that we have. But we have to go back to where we started. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, where did God say that? God said it in the Bible. He said it in His Word. This book right here is where He said it. And that's why we need to be in this book an awful lot more. Romans 10, 17 says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, that word hearing doesn't mean that I have the ability to hear. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's often been said, you know what? Our level of faith is in proportion to the amount of time we spend in God's Word. So if you're looking to boost your faith, you spend more time in what God is saying about your circumstances. I mean, it just makes perfect sense, but sometimes it's hard to... I'm going to tell you what, it's real tempting. And I don't care who you are, because I'm the same way. When something happens, it's real easy to go, well, what am I going to do? Well, maybe I can consolidate some loans and go to the bank, you know. Well, what am I going to do? Well, maybe I can call this person, get that person. You know, what we got to stop and do is we got to just say, what does God say about this thing? Because, you know, God tends to know a little bit more about it than the bank or my best friend or my rich uncle or anybody else. God tends to have an opinion, and I need to share that opinion. And because he's already shared it with us, he shared it through this word. So if you want your faith to be greater or increased, however you want it, you want to have more faith. I mean, I know I'm going to heaven, Dave, but I want this life to be full of faith. What do I do? Well, you need to get in his word. That's a cool place to go. Let me take you to Matthew, the 8th chapter, real quick. There was a centurion. Now, those of you who don't really know or whatever, it's wrong to make the assumption that everybody knows. We used to live in a day when we thought everybody knew about Jonah and the whale, Moses in the Red Sea, all of those things, Noah and the ark, but they don't anymore. But in the New Testament, there was this circumstance where a centurion, now you got to understand, Jesus was a Jew. They lived in this nation. The Israelites were Jews, and the Romans had overtaken them. We understand most of that. So they had these centurions who was a Roman soldier, not a Jew. He wasn't a Jew. He didn't go to temple like everybody else. But the Bible talks about this centurion that had this encounter with Jesus one day. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman soldier, came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. I have soldiers that are under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to another one, come, and he comes. And to this servant, I say, do this, and he does that. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, the Bible says, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Here's somebody who wasn't even connected with, quote unquote, the church, but they knew what Jesus could do. They saw what Jesus, and he said this, all you got to do is say the word. Faith sometimes, we just hook it to so many things that have to happen. Can I just tell you, just like the way this earth got formed, the Bible says that God spoke into existence all of this. And all God needs to do is speak into your life through your faith. Sometimes we just make faith a big hairy deal. And it's not that much. It's about just believing in him. But faith is also knowing that all things work together for them that love God. Now, I'm not going to go down this line of lining things up, but at the same time, many of us are at a place where we can look back through circumstances, whether it was difficulty, whether it was financial situations, maybe it was a healing that we needed in our body, all kinds of things. And you know what? God never did it the way we wanted to do it. God wasn't there right when we wanted him to be there. Now, that doesn't mean he abandoned. I'm talking about how that at that time, this was kind of urgent. I need this right now. I mean, I need God to show up now. That's how I felt. I needed the money right now. But God didn't show up at that point. But you know what? Every time we get beyond that and we look back and we go, wow, look at what God did. He had this plan that I never saw. He had all of these people that he put into my life in these circumstances. And because of that, if I'd have been in a hurry and all this had happened on my timetable, I would have never met that person, never met that person. Now listen, I don't think this is a stretch at all. I have no problem with this whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you, my life was going a certain direction, and I met Jesus. And then it went another direction because I followed Jesus. And ended up at Troy State University. And ended up meeting this guy named Denny Duron. And I ended up meeting this guy, Denny, and we ended up in Springfield, Missouri, playing football at Evangel College. And then I met Debbie. And hey, listen, it's easy to jump back up, but I'm going, that was pretty awesome. At the time, I was flying by the seat of my pants. I had no idea what it was. I had a real bad southern accent. I was wearing big old baggy blue jean type. I can't believe she even said yes to going out on a date. But you see, it was God's plan for me to meet her because she needed me desperately. And isn't it cool that God did all of that, putting me in that seat for her sake? That's what faith will do for you. It's amazing how that works. She He's waving a hanky for crying out loud. Sometimes that story isn't as funny, though, is it? Because sometimes our faith takes us through some really dark places. It's amazing. Sometimes we forget that in Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus said, boys, get in the boats. We're going to the other side. And because they listened to the command and obeyed Jesus Christ, they ended up in a storm. Can you imagine that? Most of the time, we think that when the minute we say yes to Jesus and we do something, that everything's supposed to go better instead of worse. But sometimes God's plan, see, He says that all things work together for good to them that love God. And sometimes His plan isn't going to make it, like I said earlier, easier, but it is going to make it possible. And we're going to come out on the other side of this because of our faith better than we did going into it. But faith is also a paradox. It's a paradox. If we had Dr. John Owens here and Dr. Martinez, who is here, that would be a paradox. But that's not what I'm talking about, all right? That's just a paradox. But paradox. Let me give you the definition of paradox real quick. It says, a statement, are you back with me yet? Hello? A statement that seems contrary to common sense. You know, things like jumbo shrimp, you know, or in this case, short sermon. I couldn't wait to share that one. Okay. A paradox. Hey, this doesn't make any sense at all. Let me tell you what one author said. This is incredible because most of you will relate to every part of this. Faith goes beyond reason. It believes without understanding. It sings in the prison. It glories in tribulation. It considers it all joy when trials come. And it accepts all things as God's will. Wow, this faith thing, isn't it about just dancing around through the tulips and having fun and bright skies and wonderful opportunities? Man, it's through the darkness God does some of the most incredible things. Can you imagine what it was like that night when Daniel was literally surrounded by lions, but because of his faith in God, he prevented those lions from devouring him? On and on and on. The Bible gives us these stories of great, great things that happened because of faith, but it wasn't because God took away the problems. It was because He saw them through the problems. And I'm not trying to paint a dark picture. I'm just telling you, most of the time, there's going to be an element of that in our lives. Faith is going to give us great moments of celebration. Fantastic. Just a few moments. Did you remember how awesome it was, worshiping, singing, other? But you know what? In a matter of literally hours, some of you, that's going to be interrupted by something. Whether it's something you're facing now or something you're going to face. And God's going to still give you the assurance of His faith. But let's talk just for a few seconds about faith versus trust. Now, these aren't in conflict with one another, but listen, when I trust in Jesus, it's me applying what I know He can do. This is about what Jesus brings to the circumstance. This centurion went to Jesus because he knew Jesus can heal. He had heard about Him healing. I don't know if he'd ever seen one, but he knew he could do that. So that's why he went to Him. But you see, faith is that I know that He will, not that He can, but that He will. There's a big difference there, isn't it? One is about what Jesus brings into the circumstance. The other is what I believe about Him doing it, not His abilities. It's not what I know He can do. It's what I know He will do. That's what faith does. And I'm so glad we have that. Can you imagine what church would be like if we didn't have faith? We were just trying to make sure we have enough committees and everybody does their little job and we had this organized and that organized and this structured and that structured. And there probably wouldn't be a whole lot of relationship other than organization. But instead, we have this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit that cooks us all together, and it's because we have a faith and not a committee. That's how powerful it is to be in church. But the disciples ran into a couple of conflicts, not because they were adverse to what Jesus was saying, but they just didn't understand. And there are a couple of times when in dealing with His disciples, He said, oh, ye of little faith. Now, I don't know. I just kind of see the expression of Jesus sometimes when He does that, okay? Like, I know we've had that sometimes, maybe in our children, or maybe with a coworker or somebody else. You just go, oh, ye of little faith. Can you just feel the breath coming out of you when you say that? Like, look. Do we have to do this again? And I'm not sure if that's what He did there or not. Maybe He was just a little upset. You know, you see me do all these miracles and everything? Oh, yeah, a little faith? Come on. Where are you going with all this? I don't know. I don't want to go any further than that. But there was that time when Peter was walking on the water. Remember, he saw Jesus. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you. He gets out, walks on the water. winds, wave, goes to sinking. He said, Jesus, save me. Jesus grabs him, walks back onto the water again. Second miracle, walking on water once, walking on water twice, gets back in the boat, and Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. Wow. I mean, right there in the middle of this incredible, miraculous moment, that's what it was with Peter. There was another time I just mentioned a minute ago, there on the storm. Remember that storm? Jesus is in the bow of the boat. He's asleep on a pillow. The boat's just going crazy, storming like crazy. They woke him up. Said, Jesus, we're going to die. And he says, oh, ye of little faith, be still, calm as ever. It's amazing how we step up into those circumstances. But Jesus told his disciples that if they have faith like a mustard seed, that they could do incredible things. He told them that twice. The first one was in Matthew. They were brought this kid, this young child, had a demon, and the disciples tried to cast it out, tried to heal the boy, and they couldn't. So they took him to Jesus, and Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. And then he said this. He said, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, some of us, we automatically disallow that illustration because of the massive size of what a mountain would be versus the ability to move that mountain with our faith. But then again in Luke, Luke, he says this. He says, talking to them about forgiving each other. I really identify with this one. Here they're talking about, okay, Jesus, let's get technical here, okay? Let's just draw the boundaries. How many times do I have to forgive my brother? And he said, you have to forgive your brother 70 times 7. They're going, they did the math. They're going, oh, are you kidding me? I'm working on number one, and you're telling me I have to do this 490 times? And then they said, you know what they looked at? They said, Jesus, increase our faith. I don't think I can do that. That's over my head. And it's certainly over my desire right now. Because I'm looking for justification here. I want to know just how far I have to go. And that's it, because I don't want to go any further. You can tell. You can feel the discontent in that question. Jesus says, you got to go way, way above that. And each one of those things, he responds with a reference to the mustard seed. In this reference, he said this. Faith can pluck up mulberry trees and cast them into the seas. Well, most of this still just leaves a lot of questions in our mind, doesn't it? Just what is mustard seed faith? Do I have mustard seed faith enough to move mountains? If I had just more faith, you know, we said that a lot. If I just had more faith, God would do really cruel things through me, wouldn't he? Well, that's a legitimate question. But you see, Jesus isn't worried about whether we're full of faith, but that we just have faith. We tend to do the wrong thing in that we focus on ourselves and our evaluation and our opinion of our faith, usually in comparison to somebody else, whether it's somebody you know, whether it's somebody in the church, or whether it's somebody on TV. We have some pretty big heroes out there doing some pretty huge faith things, correct? You look, you can compare that, and you're going, man, I'm still in the little league. I'm not even out of the dugout, and these guys are slamming grand slams. I'm just messed up here. The comparison is unbelievable. But you see, it isn't about size. It's about sincerity that's what matters. That's why he says all you need is the faith the size of a mustard seed. I'm not here to tell you what Jesus meant. I'm not here to analyze that. But he uses those words specifically. And you know what? In that day, I don't know what we have smaller than the mustard seed today, but in that day, through agricultural terms, and he preached to the majority of everybody preached to were agricultural in nature, the mustard seed was probably one of the smallest seeds that they knew of. This small. Can you imagine how encouraging that had to have been? To know that I don't have to have this faith that matches a Moses or an Elijah or an Elisha or all those prophets, but Jesus has told me that's all that I need. And guess what? The only measurement Jesus gives for faith is a mustard seed. We're the ones that have created this scale, this out of balance, unbelievable, this non-accomplishable scale of faith that we're supposed to have. And a lot of times we need to exercise our faith because we don't think we have faith enough just to get started, much less to see this thing through. And that's why I just praise God that he does that. I don't know if you feel comfortable with this, but you just have to understand, mustard seed faith is sufficient. I'm not saying that's where you need to go. My goal is to only have little bitty faith. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just telling you, sometimes that's all you've got. I have seen that kind of faith in the ICU waiting room. Because there's tubes, and there are wires, and there's an apparatus helping that person breathe. And this family has been up there for days. You're talking about wearing out your faith. They are weary in body. They are weary in their spirit. They are weary in what they know. They're overwhelmed with all the financial circumstances they're going to face. They're overwhelmed by what the doctors say. They're overwhelmed by everybody coming up there. And sometimes that's all they've got. And Jesus says, that's all you need. Sufficient. Because, you see, here's the thing that makes it all so cool. Mustard seed faith is sufficient because the focus is not on our faith, but the object of our faith and who we're believing in. I'm not telling you this is revolutionary, but this changes everything, doesn't it? Most of the time, we go into a situation trying to muster all of our faith, trying to build up our faith, trying to have more faith, more than we've ever had before faith, instead of focusing what the faith is being applied toward and who's supplying the faith. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what the title is. And I'm not going to go down that road because then it just kind of tends to put things in only certain boxes. But if I've got a big thing that needs to happen and I need to believe God for it, then you know what? Before I start worrying about whether I have enough faith, I need to realize that whatever faith I do have needs to be focused on this need, because that is what I'm getting the faith for. Because you know what? If I don't do that, guess what I'm focusing on? How much faith I have. Faith in me. Well, I already know what I can do. I don't have any more miracles up my sleeve. I don't have any more millions of dollars in the bank. I don't have any more resources. That's why I'm exercising my faith at this moment. So it's not about me and how big my faith. It's about the faith that whatever size it is, that I put it on this and I trust in Him. That's the difference. Because you know what? Anytime God gets a hold of something, it automatically gets a lot bigger. It automatically gets a lot more possible. It automatically becomes doable. It automatically becomes something that He's going to see us through. Because when I have God by the hand, I think I can handle just about anything. So all I need is a mustard seed in one hand and God by the hand. And you know what? I'm going to make it. I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And that's why people don't understand Christians. Because they think that we're supposed to be showy. We're supposed to be showing them something. We're supposed to be popping out miracles. We're supposed to be so holy that we float. Whatever. You know what? We're all broken. We're all beat up. But we have Jesus and mustard seed faith. And that's why we keep going on and on and on. Our faith makes a difference, not because our faith is so great, but because our God is so great. Did you see how that changed the minute the focus went between what I've got and what He's got? My faith is in Him, and the Bible tells me He can do anything. The Bible says He is the God of the impossible. And the Bible also tells me without Him, I can do nothing. So why would I try to do it on my own? My faith must be in Him. Does our faith move mountains? Does it uproot trees? Has anybody seen that lately? No, not at all. Jesus is using an illustration. There again, probably a sample, illustration from that little seed that he used to know. But you know what? We think of all these things. Like in the Old Testament, Moses, he parted the Red Sea. Well, listen, this isn't a conflict moment, but I'm telling you, he did that because of obedience, not because of faith. God told him what to do, and God did the miracle. Regardless of how you look at it, it's still God doing the miracle. And you know what? Sometimes your mountain looks like the Red Sea. Your mountain is that big, and you don't know what you're going to do with it. But God says, listen, I've been doing this all my life. So faith does the impossible. Listen, faith isn't just for us feeling good. Faith isn't so that we can know that one day we're going to go to heaven. Faith is so that we can trust God for the impossible, for the things that happen here. And God wants us to do that. Let me just give you three things, and we're going to close with this. Through faith, I can know God. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, if you are in here and you go, you know what? The truth of the matter is, Pastor, if I died right now, I'm not sure whether I would go to heaven or not. Maybe I'm not even sure if there is a heaven or not. You know, I mean, I understand that. But faith causes us to receive the greatest miracle in the world. Healings are awesome. Financial blessings, miracles, awesome. But the fact that God would take a soul that was not going to make it, if you will, that was condemned to hell because of its sin, and cleanse all of those sins so that now they will be in heaven, eternity, for the rest of their lives with Jesus, the greatest miracle. And we do that, what? Through faith. Through faith. The second thing is this: faith through God will indeed move mountains in our life. And I use that only as a term of reference. Let me tell you, some of you, you desperately need a healing. You know, all you have to do is ask God for the believing and trust Him for whatever's going to go on. If you don't get healed, does that mean that your mustard seed faith was false? Does that mean you don't care? Not at all. God constantly is reminding us that, you know what? Your idea and my idea may not be the same. Your ways and my ways, I'm a little higher up here with my, I've got a greater plan than this. So I don't know why God heals this one and doesn't heal that one. I don't know why God does this and then doesn't do that. But I do know one thing. My faith tells me that my God has everything under control. I go back to Romans 8:28 when I feel that immediately, that He's going to work out everything for good for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Sickness, financial problems, broken heart, discontent, whatever, God has a greater plan. The last thing is this: through faith, God will help me to forgive others. God will help me to forgive others, including myself, even though the pain is so severe. You know what? When you need a healing in your body, you've got a symptom, you've got a diagnosis, you've got a pain, you've got a reference, and it's something there. And you know what? Most of the time, there's nobody to blame for that. You know, when you find into financial ruin or whatever, sometimes it's not because you were stupid, ignorant, because you just overspent here. I mean, we might have contributed to a couple of things, but sometimes those things just happen, and you find yourself on horrible, horrible, hard times. But I'm going to tell you what, it's very, very difficult to forgive somebody else. Because Satan is right there telling you they don't deserve your forgiveness. Matter of fact, they deserve your judgment. He got quiet for all the right reasons. Man, sometimes the most difficult form of faith is when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to help us forgive somebody. You know why? Because like I said, because the pain is so severe. Why do they need to be forgiven? Because they've done something wrong. We've been horribly wrong. We have been violated. We have been let down. We have been betrayed. Whatever. And God says, you know what? I'm big enough. I'm big enough to give you that kind of faith, to trust in me. Remember what we said? That our faith is not in us, but it's pointed towards something and in somebody. Do you have enough faith to trust God to allow your heart to forgive this person, even though the track record is so vivid, is so real? Listen, it's easy to preach a sermon like this and say, anybody need a healing in their body? We want to pray the prayer of faith and love on you. Anybody need a financial miracle? We want to rally the troops and pray for you. But when we start talking about relationships, whether it's our relationship with God or relationship with others, that's when it gets really uncomfortable. But that's why we need to put our faith in God. Because regardless of what size the circumstance, God can heal. Thomas Schreiner said this: our greatest enemies are not outside of us, but within. Our greatest foe is the hate and rebellion that overtakes us. And mustard seed faith, because it is placed in Jesus Christ, gives us the victory. You bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back quickly. We'll be dismissed in a matter of moments. But I would just like to ask a couple of questions and give you the opportunity to take this faith, regardless of what size it is, and maybe today is the first day you even heard about it, but you just want to exercise this faith today in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that today you would live the rest of your spiritual life in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you would like to today, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and put it right back down, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray with you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to single you out. God wouldn't, so why would we? But today, if that's a need in your life, will you just put your hand up and put it right back down? Say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's at least three that I saw raise their hand. Is there anybody that wants to join that crowd real quick? I'm going to ask another thing. In just a moment, I'm going to ask that if there is a need in your body, the pastor, you've preached on faith. Now I need to exercise some faith. I need this church to join with me so that God will heal me, touch me, bless me. If that's you, then in just a few moments, when we all stand, I'm going to ask you to just leave your pew, and I'm going to ask you to just make your way to the front of this auditorium. And we may need to ask a question or two so that we can identify, but we want to pray with you. And those of you who feel compelled to pray with them, I'm going to ask you to join me in praying for these people today. We are going to have an opportunity to exercise our faith and ask Jesus Christ to touch us for whatever it is that we know. Hey, this may be diagnosed or not. It may be just something you're feeling. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to have a category or a diagnosis or anything else. All it needs is your participation. And I believe that God will do something great today. One last category. If there is somebody in this building that you need to love them, but you can't. You need to hug them, but you won't. But God says, listen, your faith is bigger than that. And I'm a bigger God than that. I died on the cross so that you could love those people and so that you could be forgiven. And that person may be here or may not be here, but if they are, I pray that you'll go straight to them today and that you will extend a hand and you will wrap your arms around them and you'll tell them, the love of God compels me, and my love for you has been restored, and that God wants me to ask your forgiveness so that we can be the family of God once again. Lord, I ask in the next few moments that you'll do these miracles, Lord. This isn't just church gymnastics. This is just something we do. This is God doing something in us. This is God invading this church for a lot of purposes. And we didn't see this day coming, but you did. And I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, incredible things happen. I pray that bodies will be healed and touched. I pray that finances will be blessed. I pray, God, that families will be put back together. Loved ones, friends, neighbors, whoever, that they'll be restored in the relationship they had before. I pray your blessing will come down on us. I pray those of you that don't know you, Lord God, that today they'll pray that simple prayer. Father, forgive me. I put my faith in you. Now please receive me and give me the honor of knowing that I will know you in heaven like I know you right now. I pray for you to do all of that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As a congregation, will you stand to your feet? If you would like to be prayed for today, if there's need a healing in your body or a healing in your relationship, a healing in whatever your miracle is, I'm going to ask you to just come down front. Let us pray with you. I'm going to ask some of you, you're already dying, so just, hey, I'm just telling you, just come on, help us pray. Just come on down and lay hands on these people. Come in and join with these bodies and love on these people that need to know that there is a God that heals, there's a God that hears, there's a God that's doing things in our life. And right now is a time where I take that little bitty seed of faith